wanted to raise some questions about issues. I don't know who has the questions.
Shiva compares makeup and men care to especially Shabbos. But a lot of, we don't compare other malachis that happen on Shabbos. I can set up that my air conditioner should go on sometimes from Shabbos before Shabbos. It's only exerted by Bishul, but not by other things. So how does a PMA compare makeup and men care to this?
Exactly. The Mishnah at the end of the first parak quotes a machlokes b'shana b'silah, so we pass like b'silah. You can set up any system you want at Erev Shabbos. It causes a malacha to occur in the middle of Shabbos. Because there's no violation of malacha, the shaykh al tasa. Shabbos is not lifting a finger. Whatever he does Erev Shabbos is not awesome. But if you leave food on the fire, that's the second gzera in the rabbanon. So that gzera can be violated, the shaykh al tasa. Rabbi Kadega says, being mafresh, shumas, and maizah, even on Shabbos, is only a gzera. It's a gzera, shema yichta, it's not a malacha. Since it's only a zera, so he says it's possible theoretically that it could be violated to shevi al tasa, but it depends. Each zera has to be judged individually. How did the Chachamim formulate the zera? Did they formulate it that it can only be violated by kumi hasei, or even by shevi al tasa? So the zera of leaving food on the fire can be violated to shevi al tasa. It's always violated to shevi al tasa. It's never by kumi hasei. When you put the food on the fire in Erev Shabbos, you didn't violate anything. When Shabbos enters, and your food is on the fire without a blast, and then you're in violation of the Shevi Altas. The Kivega raises the question, what about Mekach HaMemker? It's clearly only a Gzera, it's not a Malacha, even with the Rabbanon. Can this Gzera be violated by Shevi Altas, and maybe only by Kumbi Yasin? So he raises the suffix.
It's only because it's a Gzera, you want to compare the two Gzeras.
Right. He just says, we know that Gzeras can be violated by Shevi Altas, and sometimes not. It depends how they formulated the Gzera. Right.
Was Gzera
Mekach HaMemkar
only because you might write it down after?
Gzera Mekach
HaMemkar, Shema Yichtov. But the stocks you dealt with everything before, so there'd be nothing to write down. So I would be banned.
Right. Okay. There's room to argue? Okay, good.
So Moshe, I have a question. Is there a difference in supporting homosexual rights between religious and non-religious settings?
Between religious and non-religious
settings.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us 613 mitzvahs. He only gave the rest of the people 7 mitzvahs been in that. But one of the 7 mitzvahs that he gave everybody is homosexuality. That's a biblical provision given by God Himself from heaven above to all of mankind. So we shouldn't support people who want to violate it. Let's say we're going to have ganavim, also have rights. You have to be nice to all the ganavim. People who swap wives also have rights. You have to be nice to them. You're not supposed to be nice to people. You don't have to go kill them. You have to go shoot them. But we shouldn't encourage people that they should have an affair with someone else's wife. Shouldn't encourage people that they should violate abortion, or they should violate the ganavim. So we shouldn't support people who want to practice homosexuality. It's an issa. It's an issa for all people in the world. Those who believe in God, so those who believe God gave the Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Anayach. You can't argue with it, but Shalom. We live in a generation where the whole generation is rebelling against God's wishes.
Also, if one sits at the door and traps the animal, then the other person sits. Why do you have to come out because it's a very b'shef al tasa? Let's say I have a wild animal in the house, and I stay by the night by the door. That's only retaining it. There's no din of tzedek here at all.
Right. One can argue that one revelation proved the point of the mission. One can argue that the mission does not prove this point. There are other rights. One can argue that by definition that's not called seiza. Seiza means to trap the animal, not to maintain it in the state of interest. Right? You can these are the riot, but there are other rights. Correct. It's correct. Yeah.
In the article Woman Sitter, it says that women are accepted upon themselves tachnan. Is there any, I couldn't find any halachic sources for that. Is there any halachic sources that women don't say tachnan?
I don't know, what does it say in the article? They do, they don't.
It just says that they never accepted upon themselves.
I don't know. The Rambam has a machlekes with the Gaonim, where the Tachton is a Torah, Tachton is a Rishus. The Rambam's opinion is that one who davens is obligated to be saitakna by shakas and mincha, less mayrib, and less shchedesh, and so on. Otherwise, one is obligated to be saitakna. We really don't follow that Rambam because we believe we delete takhmud every so often on very flimsy grounds. Hasidim delete takhmud whenever it's a yortzeit of a rebbe. So every Monday and Thursday they leave on takhmud. We leave on takhmud on Lag BaOmer. There isn't really a good reason to leave on takhmud on Tu Bishvat. And Mishael said, well, we leave out a lot of takhmud. So we really follow the opinion of the Goyim that takhmud is not a chayv, it's only a rishus. So the women are obligated, the Mishnah says in Brachas, and Davcha for women are obligated to da. That means it's Davish Mon Esther. How much more are they obligated to da? Rabbi Kivegi says they're obligated to say Psukh the Zimmer, because Psukh the Zimmer is a hachana for the Shmon Esther. The other Misadu Adam Shroch and Shalakadish Boko, Chakrach Mispal. Tachmud, we assume Tachmud enhances the Shmon Esther. According to the Rambam, the women are Mukhib in Tachmud should really be Mukhib to, the women Mukhib in Shmon Esther really Mukhib to say Tachmud as well. So we follow the Gaim all the time, that Tachmud is only in the shoes. The Pashtun says that women who daven should say Tachmud. Yeah. After this, Mr. Rotskow, my rabbi, Rotskow, where is that from? I don't know.
Regarding the answer that was just given about this question, about homosexual rights and things like that, is there a difference between something like homosexual rights, which is two people deciding that they both want to do something and get married, versus someone wanting to steal something from someone else, that's infringing on the person stealing from rights to steal from them?
One is aver benot ma'abak, and one is an aver benot ma'chaveru. Okay, there is a difference, but they're both prohibited because God instructed us. What's wrong with stealing from someone else? Because God told us not to steal. It's not that we decided it's not the right thing to do.
They don't believe in God thinks that, and is there something wrong with it?
Sure, there's something wrong. That's part of Avodah Zarah. One of the Shevet Mitzvot Benachas is supposed to believe in God, not worship Avodah Zarah. And if the atheist, that's considered a violation of Avodah Zarah also. Exactly.
When one is approaching Tanakh, how do you advise them to approach it? Do you advise that everything should be taken literally, or that there's room to take certain texts and certain passages in Tanakh non-literally?
The Gemara says that many passages in the Tanakh are not to be taken literally. You get the distinct impression from the Tanakh that David sinned in a very serious way. So the Gemara knocks down the sin of David. The Gemara says the Tanakh exaggerated. For David and his madrega, that was considered a serious aver. If we would have done it, someone else would have done it, wouldn't have been considered an aver. Or the Bnei Eli. Pasuk in Tanakh condemns the Bnei Eli, that's a serious aver. The Gemara knocks it down, and the Gemara says the Pasuk is exaggerating, that's not really what it meant. You have to have a tradition, like all the stories in Tanakh are missing, 98% of all the stories are missing. We don't really, even the 2% that's written, we don't really fully understand all the time. So we have traditions of the Torah Shabbat Peh that enhance the stories, that fill in part of the 98% that's missing. Even after you read all the Midrashim, still missing a lot. Still don't know what it means. Tanakh is very difficult.
The story of Adam and Chava is a metaphor. The Mabul never happened. Things like that.
The Mabul never happened? They used to say the riddle years ago that the teacher asked the students that the archaeologists were digging by the Nile River. They found the bones of 7 cows. So they asked the children, they think these were the bones of the fat cows or the skinny cows. So the smart kid said, it must be the bones of the skinny cows, because the skinny cows swallowed up the fat cows. So the answer is no, the whole thing was a dream. There were no cows, the whole thing was a dream. So there are some things in Tanakh that we know never happened. The cows never happened, it was only a dream. Other things we know did happen. Moshe Rabbeinu existed, God existed, Adam and Chava existed, the Mabul existed, these are real things. Then other things we're not so sure. That Bilam's donkey was talking to him. So the Rambam says the whole thing was a Maran of war. And Yaakov Avinu had a fight with the angel, so the Rambam thinks that it was a Maran of war. And the Rambam thinks that it really happened. So the other things we're not sure. But there's some things that we have a tradition that this really happened. Man has seen it really happen. It's Yisrael really happened. And Esen Makas really happened. And the Mabul really happened. The Gemara says they were goyzer tuma, the Eretz Yisrael, because of the Nesei Mabul. Because there's so many dead bodies all over the world. The Mabul didn't affect Eretz Yisrael. That's our tradition. So Eretz Yisrael, they were never goyzer tuma. Eretz Yisrael tahira, mikvah seh tahira. The Mishnah mikvah. And the rest of the world is tummy because we assume the Mabul really happened. It's a miracle. There isn't so much water in the whole wide world. The rabbis and the Talmud knew about the water cycle. It's the same water that goes up and down, the rabbis knew about that. There isn't so much water in the whole wide world that it should be 15 amas above the highest mountain if it covered the whole globe. Even leaving out Eretz Yisrael is a dot on the globe. There's nothing, you're not leaving out too much. And still, the Gemara says that it was a miracle. The whole story of the Mabul was a miracle, that there was so much water, which normally there isn't so much water, that it covered the highest mountain in the world. There's some things that we know did happen, some things we know never happened, and other things we're not so sure, whether it's meant to be a mashal, or that it really happened.
Tzitzi, I was thinking about this the other day, that so there's a machlok between the Rosh and the Rambam, whether you're making sure it's tzitzi at night, if it's a daytime beged. So the Rosh saying that it's dependent on the beged, right, rather than the time you wear it, meaning that if it's a regular beged, And
now you would require tzitzit. The Rosh holds pajamas are pata. And the Rambam holds laila is pata, not pajamas.
But, so I'm saying, being that it depends on the beged rather than the time you're going to wear it wouldn't necessarily be mitzvah ta'aseh shehazman
b'ramah. Tosfos is bothered with the question. Tosfos thinks like the Rosh. The Rosh usually carries on the traditions of the Baal and Tosfos. The Tosfos points that out, despite the fact that it doesn't really depend on yom laila, it depends on a beged yom, versus the beged ma'amah, so Tosfos says, nonetheless, it still is considered a mitzvah saseh as magram. The Gemara says that it says magram, that women are kota from tzitzis. Because yom and laila play a role in the chiyuv. It doesn't depend on yom versus laila, but since it depends on beged yom versus beged laila, so since zman of yom and laila play a role in the chiyuv, even though it's not directly the mechayiv, that's also called magram. It's a difficult idea, but that's what Tosfos writes.
How do we know? I mean, God has like threatened the earth and has to abandon the Jewish people and abandon the world basically. So how do we know that either at this point or at any point that God hasn't just kind of left the world to run its course and abandoned the Jewish people?
He told us that he's never going to leave us alone. But Islam made a bris with us. A bris means a shvua, which means al kalpanim. Even if we don't deserve it, we're still going to have this divine protection. Sometimes the Gemara points out in Shabbos earlier, there's schus avos and bris avos. So let's say sometimes I have a student in my class whose father was in my shiur, or whose grandfather is very friendly with me. So I like that student. Before the year even begins, I like that student more than the other. Because he has schus avos. I was friendly with his father, I was friendly with his grandfather. But if the kid gets 40s on the exams, so that's the end of the schus avos. I'm not going to give him a good mark. Schus avos has a limit. So the Gemara says the schus avos, if Baruch Shalom deals nicely with the Jewish people, we are descendants of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, who are his favorites. So he loves us right away. But the schus avos has a limit. The schus avos ends at a certain point. But the Gemara says the bris avos loy tama. The bris that he made with the bris means al kapana. Bris is like a shvua. Shvua means I'll call upon him, come whatever may. So I go, Baruch Shalom made a bris with the Jewish people that he's going to take care of us all the time. There's some professor in the New York area who considers himself an Orthodox rabbi who says that he says something that he can't even be an Orthodox Greek minister. No religion would accept what he said. He said that he's grading God just like we grade. He's a professor. So just like a great student, he gets an A, B, C, D, F. So he gave God an F. And God deserted the Jewish people during the years of the Holocaust. So because God didn't live up to his half of the deal, so we're not obligated to live up to our half of the deal. So we're not obligated to keep any mitzvahs anymore. And anyone who volunteers to put on tefillin and tzitzis is lifnei meshuras hadin. You're not obligated to, everybody's ain't even to live this. So that's not considered religion in any religion, that you judge God, you give God an F minus. He used to have a student in the yeshiva here who's always writing F minus all over all the boards. He said he's getting F by the Z minus by the Mabah. He always used to say, he's flunking, I'm flunking, I'm flunking, I'm assuming he's a super genius. So then the pastor gave God an F minus, that God didn't act properly. We assume that human beings cannot judge God. We assume that God is good and kind, and whatever he does is the right thing to do. So you can't say such a thing, that God didn't live up to his half of the deal, so we're not obligated to live up to our half of the deal. There's no such thing. We assume God did live up to his half of the deal. We don't understand how. We're not allowed to ask kashas against a bunch of them. We don't grade him. We don't give him an F minus. What would I say that we're tchelis in our generation? If we have a possibility that it may be the real tchelis, I think you should go for it. That's a sofek deraisa mechumra. There are some who pointed out, Rabbi Nachum Zendel, who was killed by the Nazis, quotes this. There were those who argued and they said that sofek deraisa mechumra only applies if you're mesupik, whether you did the mitzvah or not. And now, if you, I don't remember if I shook lulam and esrog or not on the first day sukkis, it's been a turtle. So shake the lulam nesek. Now and you know that you were yotzei the mitzvah for sure. But if you have a case of the suffix, the rice and the chumra, even if you'll do it, you'll still be the suffix after doing it, whether you've accomplished anything or not. So there were those who said that you don't apply suffix, the rice and the chumra in such a situation. So Menachem Zelda points out that there is such an opinion in Rishonim, but he says we don't pass them like that. We pass them that you say suffix, the rice and the chumra, even in a situation where after you'll do it, you're still the suffix, whether you have accomplished anything. So this tchelis that they have now, in the late 1800s, the Ratzina Rebbe came up with a tchelis, and there were tens of thousands of Jews before the Second World War. There were many, not only Ratzina Hasidim, many other Hasidim, and it's not many Jews who were wearing tchelis. And then it was generally assumed that he made a mistake, that his tchelis is incorrect, that that's not the bona fide tchelis. If this, the worst thing that will happen over here is that this tchelis is a mistake, but it could be that it is correct. The pashto should be that you should say sofek deraisa l'chumra. If it's a possibility that this is a tchelis, it should be a tchelis. The pashto says like that.
What happens if somebody knows it's not tchelis? It's not a real tchelis. And he tints his sisters with tchelis. He takes the agar color and he wears it. Then is he over and he is there?
The Gemara says if a person takes imitation tchelis to fool the public as if he's fulfilling the mitzvah, so then that's not proper because it's fooling everyone. But over here, it's not interested in fooling people. If it's the right tailor, say he hit the jackpot. If it's the wrong tailor, say he lost $100. So he wasted his money. But there's no avera. If you're attempting to wear the correct tailors and you fell in, so there's no avera. The Gemara says the worst that will happen is that you lost your money. But yeah, I love him. The Gemara says he hurts it if it's about tzitzis without the tailors.
If I'm not mistaken, Rav Avadia Hatzal's answer on the Shaila is if you should wear the tchelet now. He says since we're not sure if it's the correct one, you don't have to. It doesn't really sound like he's going to chumra. He should say since we're not sure, you should. But if it's not, then so
I would have assumed that if you're not sure, you should. So if the rest of the chumra, I would assume like that.
So theoretically, all of us should be wearing tchelet right now because just in case it's the correct one.
I would think so. I would think so. In the Shulchan Aruch, they say you should only wear tefillin rabbi nitam if you're muchzik b'chassidus. If everybody knows that you're a pious individual and it fits for you, so there are those people who are muchzik b'chassidus. So they wear tefillin rabbi nitam. Rabbi Soloveitchik, I remember when we learned Shulchan Aruch in class, Rabbi Soloveitchik said that means. But the Sfarim that wish two shal yads at the same time, two shal roshes at the same time. So he said, that's a dead giveaway that he's wearing tefillin de Rabbeinu Tam. But if he doesn't in shul with tefillin de Rashi, he goes home and he puts on tefillin de Rabbeinu Tam, no one's going to know what you're doing at home. So he said, from the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch, he thought that it's a chiyuv midina. Everyone is mechuyav to put on tefillin de Rabbeinu Tam, but don't do it b'farhesia, unless you're mostly b'chashidus. I never heard that he wore tefillin de Rabbeinu Tam at home. When we were studying Shulchan Aruch, that's what he said. I don't know. The pashto is we assume that the tefillin Rabbeinu Tam is incorrect. So to me, this chassidus to be choshish for the miut opinion. But Migirat did. The Vilna Gaon didn't wear tefillin Rabbeinu Tam. He wore tefillin all day long. He wore tefillin Rashi all day long. Even though we cut back on the wearing of tefillin to the bare minimum, the Vilna Gaon didn't follow that opinion. He wore the tefillin all day long. So he didn't want to take off tefillin Rashi in order to satisfy the to be choshish, but the jit stop in the tad. Why should it be mabatul from the real mitzvah? The real mitzvah is to mabatul from the rashim. That's how we really pass. But if you're going to take off the tefillin at the end of the davening, you have nothing better to do. So the Shulchan Aruch says, you may as well put on tefillin Rabbi Natan as a chumrah. But mikra din, we assume that Rabbi Natan is not correct. We assume that Rashi is correct. When you put on tefillin the Rashi, you say a bracha. Put on tefillin the Rabbi Natan, you don't say a bracha. Even if all you have is tefillin the Rabbi Natan, you don't say a bracha. We assume that Rashi is the correct one. Rabbi Natan is a chumrah to wear. Is it possible to tell what? The story about Rabbi Soloveitchik.
Nice setup.
To think about which, I'll give it some thought. Okay. Okay. Why isn't Dalam Haba mentioned in the Torah? The rabbis in the Talmud understand that it is mentioned in the Torah. It says, Baharach Yom. So the Gemara understands it doesn't mean Goylam Hazam Nikli Yom Shekula Aruch. The two Olam Habos, Olam Habos used in two different senses. Sometimes we refer to the Olam HaNeshama. So after someone dies, so the goof dies, but the Neshama remains up. So the Olam HaNeshama is sometimes referred to as Olam Habo. Then we refer to living in this world after Tchias HaMeisim, as Olam Habo. The world after Moshiach will come, we refer to that as Olam Habo. Two different kinds of Olam Habo. Kamiga Moshiach is promised by the prophets, and not only by the other prophets, by Moshe Rabbeinu as well. The Rambam writes that one that doesn't believe in Bias HaMashiach, not only is he in denial of what the other prophets said, denial of what it says in the Chumash as well. So that the world is going to exist, and it's going to be a different type of a world after Moshiach comes. That is in Chumash, that Olam Habo. Olam HaNeshama is referred to when it says Baharachta Yom. That's a reference to the Yom Shekulor. Why isn't it more explicit? I don't know. It's a good question. Why is it more explicit than that? A lot of, we don't understand any Chumash without the Torah Shalom then. There's a fellow in Yeshiva was telling us that he was once touring in Europe with non-Jews together, Jews and non-Jews, so the Jews put on their tefillin in the morning. So one of the galochim who was touring with them, one of the non-Jews, he asked, what is that? So he took a chumash and he mishtuv the parsha in English. Took an English Bible, mishtuv the parsha about tefillin. They knew Bible. They never understood that that's what it needs, tefillin. They never did. Now they have non-Jews who want to keep closer, feel closer to Yoshkin. So they want to shake a lulav and dalmin because they know that Yoshkin was an observant Jew. They don't know what in the world it is. Lulav and Esri, they don't know what in the world it corresponds to. So they made up their own dalmin and they shake it. And then when they show them, they show what the Jews do. They had no musa, that that's what the Chumash is talking about. Without the Torah Shema Peh, you don't begin to understand the Torah Shema Peh. So the Olam Habo is part of the Chumash also. We have to have a tradition how to translate all the words in the Chumash.
How
do
we approach a case where reasons behind the halakha or any halakha contradicts scientifically proven fact, such as like Mara Betzei Kinim or Rabbi Matam Tan Ketri Shabbat?
If the Louis Pasteur established that there's no such thing as spontaneous generation, so there was one of the Rabbanim in Italy, Yitzchak Lamprenti, wrote a bit of an encyclopedia, the Pachad Yitzchak. The Pachad Yitzchak that was written recently by Rabbi Hutman, that's different. But the famous one from centuries ago is the encyclopedia Pachad Yitzchak. So he quotes the whole discussion that he had with his Rabbein. What do we do with the Din of the Gemara? So the different interpretations. Some say we should draw the Din because it's not correct. The Chachamim made a mistake. So it's not correct. Others say, no, we should draw the science. Okay? The scientist, Louis Pasteur is wrong. Yeah. And others say we should understand that what it means is that it's not visible. The inner part of Rav means not visible to the naked eye. You know, the communists didn't believe in God. So if there's no spontaneous generation, so where did life come from? If life can't come from Yesh Me'ayin. So they commissioned their scientists to disprove Pasteur, that there can't be such a thing as spontaneous generation. So for money, you can do anything. They had their chemists and their physicists, they disproved Louis Pasteur. So some of the Rabbanim were jumping from joy at that time. We finally saved the Rambam. We finally saved the Gemara, the Rambam. The Rambam writes in at one place in the Sefer Mitzvah that anybody who doesn't believe in spontaneous generation doesn't know the ABC of science. That's what the Rambam writes in one place. So he finally saved the Rambam with the Gemara. So they said, are you crazy? You saved the Rambam with these Abikursim, the atheists, because they didn't believe in God. So they had to disprove Louis Pasteur. If you believe in God, then Louis Pasteur is okay. You have to affirm for the Rambam with the Gemara differently. So it's usually assumed, that's Rav Shlomo Zalman or Abachasim, usually assumed that the Gemara means that it's not Paragarav, but it doesn't mean that it's not Paragarav. It means it's not visible to the naked eye. Whatever is not visible to the naked eye, Allah disregards. So that's the Poshup Shah. The same thing, worms. The Gemara talks about certain worms. So the Gemara says, certain worms in the fish are rasas, other worms in the fish are mutta. Which worms are rasas, which worms are mutta? So the simple translation of the words of the Gemara is that those worms that come from the outside, that those are rasas. But the worms that develop from the flesh itself of the fish, those worms are mutta. There ain't no such thing as worms that develop from the flesh of the fish. Fish doesn't turn into worms. All the worms come from outside. So Shlomo Zalman Reibach said, he assumes that that's what it means. The worms that were microscopic at the time that they entered the fish, all the worms come from the outside. Those that were not visible to the naked eye, they only grew and became visible to the naked eye after the eggs were ready inside the fish. So those, since they look as if they developed from the fish itself, so that's mutter. But those that were visible before the fish swallowed them, so those are the worms that are us. That's what's usually assumed. That the Gemara is not to be taken literally. It can't have it been. We believe. See, by the Catholics, they have big problems in Europe. Whoever goes to university doesn't want to go to theological seminary because there's a big contradiction between university studies and religious studies. In Sheep University, they have the same building. You have the same classrooms. They teach secular studies in the afternoon, they teach Torah in the morning. So the years ago, there used to be a Galach, a Jew who converted to Christianity as a young person, Lustiger. He used to be the cardinal in Paris, I think. The cardinal of Paris, in France. So he was once walking in the yeshiva. Now they have security. You can't walk in the yeshiva. That's all that there. But this is before all the security, before 9/11. So he was walking in the yeshiva building, plain clothes, and he said, I couldn't believe it. In the same classroom where they have Gemara in the morning, they teach to have on the board physics and chemistry, and all the different things. He couldn't believe it. So he walked into Dr. Lane's office. Dr. Lane happened to be available at that time. Said, can he speak to Dr. Lane? He says, yeah. So he comes, he introduces himself. He's Cardinal Lustiger. He says, you can't believe it. By you, there's no contradiction between religion and science. And by us, no. So he'd like to come to the yeshiva to visit with a group of cardinals. That's how the whole story began. Every year they have, you have the cardinals come to visit. Not the cardinals, the baseball cardinals. Come the Gamachan cardinals. They have to come to figure out what is the secret to success. How come by us there's no contradiction? So the answer is very simple why there's no contradiction. But they won't accept that. The true religion is given by the same God who created the world. So you can't have a contradiction between science and religion. It's the same Bar Yolam who created the world and gave the religion. They have Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is Kulo Sheker. So of course anyone who knows any evidence about the secular studies, about sciences, is not going to believe in Avodah Zarah. Furthermore, which Meshuggah wants to take an oath of celibacy? Meshuggah Akhazah. Someone take an oath of poverty. You have to be crazy on top of crazy. Celibacy with poverty. With Avodah Zarah, not everything. But they don't understand those two roots. So they came to the yeshiva to figure out what the secret is. So originally they thought the secret must be chavrusa system. We learn chavrusa, they don't have chavrusa. So they came originally to investigate the chavrusa system. So no one knew what they wanted. They were coming to the base manager to see. So then we met in Dr. Leon's office. They wanted to know, by then, in their theological seminaries, everything is from above. Whoever is in charge gives them sock and everything. So they asked Dr. Lam, what happens if you set up a chavrusa? They called Dr. Lam, sits and he sets up all the chavrusa. So they said, if you set up the chavrusas and the guy's not happy, what do you do? So So he said, I don't set up the chavrusas. The Rebbe's not there. Pick on their own chavrusas. If it doesn't work out, then it comes midterm, it comes final. So this switch chavrusas. This nishkan. I'm trying to figure out what's the chavrusa system. I thought that must be the secret. Then every year they come back, every year, every 2 years they come back with another suggestion. Maybe the secret to success is this and the other. But then they have a problem. In Europe, whoever goes to university doesn't go to theological center. But yes, there was never a problem. The Talmud were always on the cutting edge of science, you see in the Gemara. And throughout all the generations, the Rambam, the Ramban, they were doctors, they were scientists in Europe. In Italy, all the medical schools, all founded by Rabbanim. There are Rabbanim teaching there. Chief Rabbi of Rome, I think, is a doctor. He's a practicing doctor in a hospital. I forgot his name already. The Rabbanim are always doctors. There's never any sphere between religion and science. Whenever there is a bit of a sphere, so you have to reinterpret the Gemara. The Gemara didn't mean what we think it says. Rabbi Natan. You know Rabbi Gettinger? Rabbi Gettinger was my Rebbe when I was a little boy. Rabbi Gettinger is a super genius. He just published a sefer a few years ago to explain that if the Vilna Gaon and the Rabbi Natan would meet, they would shake hands, they say exactly the same thing. He says Rabbi Natan is misunderstood, that he never said what they thought that he said. The whole thing is ridiculous, and Rabbi Natan said exactly the same as the Vilna Gaon. Probably, how can he say? What, the Rabbi Natan never walked outside? It's impossible. The Vilna Gaon says, Hachush Makfish, how can it be? There is no such thing. It can't be the Rabbi Natan as Makfish the Metzius. He says Rabbi Natan is misunderstood. That's what he says.
This might be a little more of a simple question, but why is it that some people can hold 3 hours between meat and dairy and some people can hold 6 hours? Like, is there one correct answer? Or because it is the digestive.
The Gemara says that min hatar it's only prohibited to have meat and milk that were cooked together. And then to adjust, if you have a cheese sandwich with meat, that's only forbidden mid rabbanan. That flesh and milk is the same meal is only prohibited mid rabbanan. So that Gemara says about waiting between one meal and the other, that's not even mid rabbanan. That depends on the minhagim. So one of the chachamim in the Gemara, Perakol Abbasim, the Chulin says. How do I compare it to my father? My father, when he would eat flesh, he would wait 24 hours until he would have milk. So I'm not on that much. Reagan, I only wait from one meal to the other. So the Rambam says, Kemoshe shows, approximately 6 hours. That's why some people wait 5 hours, 5.5 hours, whatever. When Baruch Kotler founded the Lakewood Yeshiva, he said he always gave flesh for lunch. That was the carryover from Europe. Now in America, hardly anybody eats flesh for lunch. He had flesh for lunch and supper was milchiks, and it was never 6 hours. It was always 5.5 hours. That's how he set it up in Al-Khatrin. That was his mid, 5.5 hours. Others have since got to have 6 full hours. And others say, no, from one meal to the other, it doesn't mean 6 hours. It means 3 hours. A different minhagim. The waiting will more make up. Let's say we are more lenient as far as waiting 6 hours than we are about waiting 1 hour. 1 hour says in the Zohar. So many are of the opinion that that's a real din de rabbanan. You're not allowed to have milchiks within the first hour. And waiting the extra 2 hours, or the extra 5 hours, or the extra 4.5 hours, whatever it is, over the first hour. So that's only minhagim. So we're more lenient. Pesachei Tshuva quotes the Chasam Sofer, we're more lenient about the 6 hours or the 3 hours than we are about the basic 1 hour. 1 hour maybe is a din with rabbanan. And more than 1 hour is totally minhagim. So some have the minhag, it's only 1 hour. Some have only 1 hour. It's a lot of chavrusa with a yekin. So he used to say, the yekins were never worshipped. By the time you finish the meal, you can already have milchiks.
What would you say the source for shomer negev comes from?
A pasuk in Chumash. Pasuk in Chumash says, Valisha, you need this to master the sikhavu of the galaservo. So the sikhavu of the galaservo is interpreted by the Sifra, by the Torah's kind of meaning, kira basa, not the haga to kiss a woman who's in need. So there's a maplaika, the Rambam, the Ramban, whether that's really to be taken literally, that's really a din in the Torah, or maybe that's only an asmachta mid Ramban. So the Rambam thinks it's only an asmachta mid Ramban. And the Shulchan Aruch has adopted the position of the Ramban, that it's a real din min haTorah. Shulchan Aruch writes that one who kisses a nidah gets malchus, one who does kirabasa gets malchus.
But when I would raise up that point, the person who would argue me would always say that being Tameh does not affect our generation. We're all Tameh Meis. So that doesn't matter really that we become Tameh by kissing or hugging and something to need them. So how would you combat that?
There is such a forgery of the Chibus HaRosh that's known as the Son of Rosh. Someone in the 1700s forged the whole manuscript and he attributed it to the Rosh, and he wrote his own commentary on the Chibus that he himself wrote. So one of the ways that they realized that it was a forgery was there's one Chibus there where supposedly the Rosh writes that all the laws of Nida don't apply to Zmanos, because everybody's Tomei anyway. But that's utterly ridiculous. We have the whole Masech is Nida. You have all the dinim of Nida, the Rosh writes on Nida. We only have Talmud Bavli on those halachas that are relevant to Zmanos. We don't have Talmud Bavli on Taurus, we don't have Talmud Bavli on Zerah, we have Talmud Bavli on Kochin, because the Gemara says only Kochin. Whoever learns Parsha Sola, Kiel Hikr Vaidah. Doesn't apply to other dinim, doesn't apply to Zerah. Only by Karbonis they say like that. That's what Rashi writes. Many Rishon say like that. So Talmud Bavli on Kochin is considered Allah Lamais. But you have Talmud Bavli on Nida? We assume that the laws of Nida are still relevant to Zmanos, even though everybody's Tomei anyway.
Last night we learned Ramban that talks about the Egel, and he says that they didn't say that Hashem, they just thought that Moshe was gone, so they made the Egel as like a new leader. So according to that, like, what was really the bear? Like, they did that was so bad that like Hashem wanted to destroy Jewish nation and like force bear.
Good question. I don't know what Ramban explained. I don't know. The Gemara doesn't. The Gemara learns that even from the Egel about the Avodah Zarah. Ramban says everything is only an Asmachta. Ramban learns that Lefi Pshuta wasn't really Avodah Zarah. What was the Avera? Because we don't really need an intermediary. We can have a direct relationship with our Kodesh Baruch Hu. So that's such a serious Avera that we think we need an intermediary. I don't know. Good question. Why is that considered such a serious Avera?
That's who the intermediary is. To make a calf to be intermediary, it's not like if you go to a tzaddik to pray for you. This is a sort of a
that's normal. To go to a tzaddik to be misspelled, that's reasonable. Yeah. That's normal. To take a calf, that's unreasonable.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Seems okay. To be mm-hmm.
Sefer Mishlei, we say that we should celebrate the downfall of our enemies. So if that's the case, then how can we celebrate Purim?
That's a very good question. How do we celebrate Purim if not supposed to celebrate the downfall of our enemies? They said that it's not true, but they used to say about Professor Yeshaya Leibowitz, that was Nochama Leibowitz's brother. She was a famous individual, he was a famous character, with a capital K. He was a colorful individual. So they say that he would be in Yerushalayim on Yud Dalit, Ador, and he would go to Tel Aviv on Tezvav because he didn't want to celebrate Purim. The following Yitzchak didn't want to celebrate. They say it's not true. They say it's not true. But they didn't say it about me, they said it about him. Because he was a colorful person. Yeah, we assume that the Ikar celebration on Purim is really the Kabbalah Sater. Kibbul the Kibbul, according to the tradition, Kibbul the Kibbul means the Omekabbal Torah anu. And the Goyin, and the Gemara says that there's a Machloek and Sarblez and Rabbi Shua, how are you supposed to celebrate Yontif? Should you emphasize Achilo Shia? Should you emphasize learning and davening all day long because there's a contradiction between two psukim? One pasuk says, Atzeras Hashem Alokecha, dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should daven and learn all day long. The other pasuk says, Atzeras Tialachem, you should eat and drink and be merry. So Rabbi Lezer says, whenever you have to take a makrish and zeh zeh, there's no cost of ashlishi, she'achriyeh b'neyem, so it's optional, either A or B. So every yomtov you should either dedicate kemat all Hashem, or dedicate kemat all to eating and drinking and making merry. We don't pass like Rabbi Lezer, we pass like Rabbi Shua. Whenever you have to take suvim, amakrish and zeh zeh, there is no cost of ashlishi, she'achriyeh b'neyem. So you have to understand on your own how to draw up short. Chetzel Hashem, Chetzel Hashem. You should divide the day in half. The Gemara says this dispute between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua only applies to Pesach and to Sukkot. Doesn't apply to Rosh Hashanah, right? Doesn't apply to Shavuos. Why not? Because Shavuos and Purim. Why? Because Shavuos, Yom Shenitna Batur. The day on which the Torah was given, the one would have thought, Fakir. The day on which the Torah was given, everybody should sit and learn a whole day. The Gemara says wrong. The day on which the Torah was given, everybody agrees. Hakamaydin, that you have to have a significant lechem. You have to have elaborate meals, more so than on a regular weekday, more so than on Pesach and on Sukkot. Yom Shemitah, you have to have elaborate meals. Gemara says another exception to the rule is Purim. So argues in the Gemara that Purim, you have to have elaborate meals, because it says in the Megillah, so the Gemara says Hakamaydin was, no, because Purim is Yom Shemitah also, because of the Kim of the Kibbutz. The main celebration on Purim is that there was a new Kabbalah Satur. That new Kabbalah Satur enabled the Jewish people to enter Eretz Yisrael the second time. That was during the end of the 70 years of Golden Model, 20 years before the completion of the building of the second base. They started building it before. And then the Malach HaMikdash was in this backlog. And then after the next Purim, that enabled the Jewish people, because they had a new Kabbalah Satur, that gave us the right to enter Eretz Yisrael the second time around and to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash. Because the Navi Yirmiyah said that. Navi Yirmiyah, if you learn Navi, Navi said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bris with our forefathers, and we rejected the bris, we violated it. So the deal is off, and we have to go to goats. Navi Yirmiyah is saying in advance that the Chur Beis Hamikdash will take place, and be sent to the goats. Then Navi says, I'm going to have to make a new bris, and this bris chadosh is going to be engraved on our hearts. And this time we won't be able to reject it, won't be able to shake it off, it's going to be within us. And this new bris chadosh will enable us to enter Eretz Yisrael the second time and to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash. So that's why we assume that the next Purim is when we have this new Kabbalah Satur. That was the bris chadosh. And then there was the bris aman in Sefer Nehemiah. Bris aman was the representatives of all of the Shvatim signed sort of a contract with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Beis HaMikdash that they promised, as representing the Shvatim, they promised to observe Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras and Mishpacha, Medon HaMamokim, and Medon HaMachaveh. So that was the Greece's Bris. So we're celebrating that one minor aspect of the celebration of Purim is that the Rishonim were punished at that time, that there was we succeeded in killing the enemy. But that's not the main celebration. The main celebration is we had a new Kabbalah Satur, which enabled us to enter Eretz Israel at the end of the 7 years of the Golden Bottle, and which enabled us to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and which will enable us, why do we still celebrate Purim today? Because that Kabbalah Satur at that time, that came of the Kibbutz, God gave us the right to enter Eretz Israel to establish the Medina in 1948, that's what will give us the right to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Otherwise, only on the time from the Megillah Stikers during the period of the second Beis HaMikdash, that every month there's a Sefer Megillah Stikers that's written in Biksav and the rest of Torah Shabbat was being transmitted orally. Rashi said on Shabbos, the first prayer. This is called Megillah Stikers because it was written in Biksav. That starts off in this year's city, goes in order of the months. List of all of the Yom Tovim that the Chachamim introduced in the Rabban. And all the Yom Tovim have to do with the Beis HaMikdash. And all of the Yom Tovim are bottled, with the exception of Chanukah and Purim. Because all the others had to do with the Bais HaShem. And these two were the only two that had to do not only with the Bais HaShem, but the Bais HaShlishi as well. So we today still continue to observe Purim. Not in commemoration of what happened centuries ago. In commemoration of what happened was the Kabbalah Satur then. That will enable us to, we're celebrating Binyan Beis HaMikdash Al Shem Ba'asir. We're celebrating our Kabbalah Satur in the days of Purim. Hodi Kiblu B'me'ach HaShverus, the Gemara says on Shabbos. At the time of my Hasina was Kafalei Harki Gigas, it was Ba'ayas. And on the occasion of Nes Purim, it was Beratzayim. So therefore, why? So that will enable us to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash Ha'asir. So we're celebrating in anticipation of the building of the third Beis HaMikdash. That's what Purim in the first place was established before the Bais Sheni was built. So it was celebrated in anticipation of the building of the second Beis HaMikdash, and now we still continue to celebrate in anticipation of the building of the third Beis HaMikdash. The Jewish prophets were the historians of the future. Everybody else is the historian of the past. And the Nevi'im tell us what's going to happen in the future. So the Nevi'im tell us there will be a third Beis HaMikdash, the Navi in Heskel says. And that third Beis HaMikdash is because we were Mekabel HaTorah anew. The Bris Chadasha, the Charati, the Bris Chadasha, was the Bris at the time of Kabbalah HaTorah. The main celebration is not so much over the victory over the enemies. The main celebration is the Kabbalah HaTorah.
victory over them is we celebrate Pesach, which is a victory over the Mitzrayim.
I don't think the main celebration of Pesach is either the victory over
them. When the disappear, there should be a symbol.
You celebrate that Baruch Hashemayim became apparent. That when the enemies were trying to hide the fact that HaKadosh Baruch is Melech HaOlam, when they disappeared, so now Baruch Hashemayim is able to be nisgal. Yeah, but we're not so much celebrating the victory over the enemies. Praise HaKadosh Baruch Hashem in Melech HaOlam, that is Malchus is apparent. Thank you very much.
Great.